An invitation, a challenge, and a declaration. This year's Koroneihana saw plenty of politics at the typically non-political affair.
Get rid of all of the Māori-bashing racist bills.
And I ask this question, what are you doing? What is your government doing?
I want to be clear today that the National Party will not support the Treaty Principles Bill beyond first reading.
Kia ora, ko Craig McCullough ahau, anei te pūrongo tōrangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Craig McCullough. This week, we take you to Narawahia, to Tūranga Waiwai Marae, to the pouring rain and whipping winds of Monday, as MPs gathered for the traditional commemorations. Each year, people come to the marae to celebrate the leader of the Kingitanga, the Māori King movement. This year marks the 18th anniversary of Kingitu Heitia's coronation. While MPs often attend, the event is not usually all that political, and of late has passed with little mainstream attention. Not so this year. This was Christopher Luxon's first visit as Prime Minister, and onto the Ātia he walked, Winston Peters at his side. The opposition parties trailed behind, but the wiro, the challenge, was directed squarely at the man in charge. The challenge continued from the pōwhiri to the pai. First to speak was King Tuheitia's advisor, Tuku Morgan, who did not hold back.
Prime Minister, we say this because we've watched your government dismantle everything that is meaningful to Māori in this country. You've thrown Māori under the bus and you've run them over. And irrespective of whether we say to you, you have to stop, you've got to consult, we know your ears are deaf to our people. So here's the score. We say to iwi across this country that we have to unite. And the King has said that we must unite. We have to be strategically political. We have to get our people off the Pākehā roll and get them onto the Māori roll. So that actually we can determine the face of the next government. Because right now, Prime Minister, things look despairing and grim for our people. Nō reira. Mine is just the opening chorus.
Indeed it was. The whaikōrero set the tone. The provocation passed from speaker to speaker on the Kingitanga's side.
Ko taku aki aki kia koe ngā hinara. Mohi o kei te motu. E ha te tū a winitana. E hanga whakaaro Aotearoa tuatahi. Mohi o te motu whānui. E ha te tū a Seymour.
The head of Ngaitahu, Justin Tipa, yelled over the driving rain and wind. He addressed the Prime Minister head-on, demanding clarity and accountability.
Hei te hehea tātou ki te kite a koe e tūa nei tōmana. Tautoko mai o iwi Māori e noho nei. Nō reira kia kahara.
It was Rahui Papa from Waikato Tainui who spoke on the Kingitanga's behalf, continuing the rebuke, but offering an olive branch too.
And I just want to remind you, Prime Minister, and actually all of the members of Parliament, you only have a finite time in the job that you hold. The will of the people will determine whether that job lasts a bit longer or a bit shorter than what you have imagined. And Prime Minister, I want to end on the note that at the steps of Parliament sits a carved figure of a bird that was created by my uncle Fred Graham. And the name is Te Wero, the challenge. And the inscription at the bottom of it says, Kua hau te moi moi a o te iwi. Kia rite tonu ki ākoutou whakariterite. I te hōhonu me te marama o ākoutou whakariterite. for I am the challenge. And the length of my flight will be determined by the depth and the wisdom of the decisions that you make. We say to you, Prime Minister, get rid of all of the Māori-bashing racist bills and policies and procedures in this government. Hoki mai, here's your mate sitting right over here. You may have coalition mates, but that only lasts 3 years. Te ao Māori are forever, Prime Minister.
Freed from the shackles of assumed niceties, the opposition parties strayed deep into political territory too. Perhaps the most strident, Labour's Chris Hipkins.
There are New Zealanders who fear what Māori advancing means for them and that they might miss out because of that. But what I will never accept and never respect is that there are political leaders who seek to exploit that fear rather than trying to allay that fear. Because that's not leadership. We seem to have a government at the moment who have never encountered a redneck they don't want to scratch. And let me tell you that I don't just speak for the Labour Party, but I speak for hundreds of thousands of non-Māori New Zealanders when I say this government does not speak for us and does not represent us with that attitude. Because I recognise, as the Labour Party recognised, as hundreds of thousands, millions of other New Zealanders recognise, that when Māori are thriving, all of Aotearoa will be thriving. And we have nothing to fear from that.
It's not a matter of if. When we get in, everything this stinking government's doing will be undone in 5 minutes, not 100 days.
Directly, if I may, Mr. Prime Minister, I know it's not question time, but I think that this is something that I would love your reflection upon, is whether you believe, as the leader of this country, Māori ceded sovereignty.
On the interrogation went. The speeches carried a consistent message, and nearly all of them wound back to the contentious Treaty Principles Bill. The legislation has yet to be drafted, let alone debated, but already it has caused a world of trouble for the coalition. The bill is the ACT Party's baby, a key plank of its election campaign. It promises a referendum, a public vote, on whether to do away with the existing treaty principles as established through the courts. Gone would be what ACT sees as the problematic principle of partnership and all the others. In their place would be a new set of principles, codified in law, among them equality and property rights. Again, all this contingent on a referendum. ACT won the legislation during coalition negotiations last year, but it came with a caveat. The coalition agreement, says written and signed, promise only to send the legislation to select committee for discussion. They do not promise to pass it into law, and both National and New Zealand First have said that they won't. It's fair to say that large swathes of Māoridom have not been convinced by those assertions.
Top of mind is the Treaty Principles Bill.
Today, we seek your assurance that this Treaty Principles Bill will only go as far as the first reading.
But you know what would be better? If it didn't even get out of the box. If it didn't even make it out of the box.
And so, Shane Jones from New Zealand First used his speech to set out once and for all his party's position, addressing Tuku Morgan directly.
Far be it for me to get political. But I want to assure you, despite the fact you and I went to St. Stephen's School and got a large dose of the Bible, there is another scripture and it's called the Coalition Agreement. And Mara, in that Coalition Agreement, there is no ambiguity, no doubt. The bill that you refer to, the Treaty of Waitangi Principles Bill, will not be voted for by New Zealand First beyond its introduction into Parliament. Kamutu, kai kanohi mai e nei ngutu oku. Hoi nano te wahanga I otia mātou te tautoko koia tēnā. Now, if you have any concerns that the bill might prevail or enjoy some victory after that, you must be expressing your concerns about the parties of the opposition, Emma, not New Zealand First.
His leader, the Deputy Prime Minister, Winston Peters, had departed early to catch a pre-arranged flight. But Christopher Luxon, the Prime Minister, also gave his guarantee, along with a challenge of his own.
Now, all of us here today, irrespective of our backgrounds and our political persuasions, believe that our people are the key to our future and also the link to our past. And I believe that all of us here want New Zealand to be a much better place to raise our children and our grandchildren, so that they in turn can feel that this is a place with a future and opportunity for them and their own families. A country where every child gets a great education, a country with a thriving economy, a country that is united and celebrates our unique culture and environment, a country that has learned from the past and is excited about the future. But let's also be straight up and acknowledge the direction that we have take to achieve those common goals will differ greatly amongst us. And as I said at Waitangi, unity doesn't mean all of us being or thinking exactly the same. We can value our differences, we can debate them constructively while also respecting each other and still find a pathway to a better future together. There will be times when our differences seem to outweigh our shared commitment and common goals. Many of you here have raised those concerns, and I'm acutely aware of them. Over the coming months, and indeed years, our relationship will be tested, as it has been many times before. And at times it will be tense because our relationship has always been based on respect, but not always agreement. But I want to be clear today that the National Party will not support the Treaty Principles Bill beyond first reading.
That is about as clear as it gets, a firm commitment, and one made in the heart of Kingitanga. To paddle that back would be a betrayal of the highest order. The day after, back at Parliament, the Prime Minister hardened his line even further. He confirmed National would vote against the bill at its second reading. There is no wiggle room there. And yet, a certain David Seymour is determined to find it. You've perhaps noted his absence thus far. The ACT leader has never attended Koranehana, and this year was no exception. The exact reason for his non-attendance is in dispute. He says he was not invited. The Kingitanga says all were welcome. Speaking late in the day on Monday, David Seymour suggested he had not missed much, and he tried his best to play down the declarations from Christopher Luxon and Shane Jones.
Well, I think they've probably jumped the gun. I mean, the legislation hasn't actually finished drafting, and so they haven't seen it. Nor have I seen the public reaction, although public opinion research says 60% of New Zealanders support it based on what they've heard. So they can say that, but I'd always keep an open mind in life and in politics.
Are you calling them liars?
No, I don't think that they're lying. I just think that they have closed their minds when there's more information to come, including the exact drafting of the bill, which nobody has seen at this point, and the public's reaction to that bill, although the public are strongly supportive based on what public opinion research we do have, according to what people understand of the bill to date.
What do you think's driven them then? What is the reluctance? Why do you think that National and New Zealand First have closed their mind to this if it's so popular?
Look, it's always easier to avoid difficult questions. The way the treaty has evolved over the past 50 years has been that we are a partnership between two races, and ACT's problem with that is that you have a state where race is a critical part of your constitutional makeup. I don't believe that's sustainable, and it's a difficult conversation to take on, but nonetheless, every successful society has been based on equal rights, and I think we deserve to have that discussion.
People might look at what's happened today and say that bill is dead in the water, given the comments from the Prime Minister and Shane Jones. Do you believe that?
No, I look at, first of all, what is the merits of something as a policy, and what is the popularity of it politically? The merits of equal rights as a foundation for any country are indisputable, and every indication we've had so far is the initiative's very popular. So you can understand why people might attempt to knock it down before it's given a chance, but the only way is usually to give things a chance.
That wasn't the end of it either. David Seymour then issued a statement on Twitter, doubling down, saying it would be more respectful and democratic for his coalition partners to wait to see the bill first. He pointed out National had held several positions on the matter already and said he suspected they'd change their tune again. That may be wishful thinking or just the usual political posturing. Regardless, the debate is not going anywhere. The legislation is set to be revealed before the end of November, subject to Cabinet sign-off, and will then be sent to Select Committee for some 6 months. The strength of feeling on display this week is sure to only build. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Craig McCulloch. Thank you for joining me. Matua.